Hey, it's Valentine's Day. You remember the Valentine's Day Massacre, don't you? Oh, yeah. Memories.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you.
I'm expecting you.
Love. Life's sweetest reward.
Life's sweetest reward.
Let it flow.
Flow.
It floats back to you.
It's flowing back to me.
Love boy. Soon we'll be making another run. The love boy. Promises something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance. And love,
I lie.
Won't hurt anymore. It's an open smile.
And an open sore.
On a friendly shore.
I need a friendly shore.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I don't know what I like anymore.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, oddly enough. Odd, that's odd.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Hey, welcome to the program. I am indeed Ron Van Dam. Pleasure to be with you today. What a wonderful... You know why today is wonderful? Because I live in the Boston area. That's not why it's wonderful. It's because it's not snowing out. I can't believe it. Although flurries are possible always for the rest of my life. It's like I'm living in a snow globe or something and someone's shaking things up all the time. But today, really, there's no forecast of any kind of snow. Tomorrow, yeah, a little bit. Today. So this is a very odd day. And the winter up here in the Northeast started very, very calm and very quiet. December was very quiet. Little pitter-patter of snow here and there. And then January, it was don't tell anybody it's winter. So far, this is working out. And then February comes, and like it's, oh, God, okay. But that stupid little groundhog vermin thing, early spring, says the groundhog in Staten Island. That's my groundhog, baby. I have no idea who this groundhog is, but I want to marry it someday because I like that idea a lot. This is just really stupid. I was talking to someone on the phone yesterday. Sorry, I'm wiping my nose. Is that rude or something? Is it? I was talking to somebody yesterday, and it was a person. It was a person. For once, it wasn't a computer. It wasn't a voice-activated telemarketer. It was an actual person, believe it or not. And it was a telemarketer, and I ended up hanging up on them because I hang up on not only telemarketers, but most of my friends as well. because you never know. You can't go wrong. You know, sometimes a telemarketer could pose as one of my friends and get the voice down really well and, you know, study it carefully and pose as one of my friends. And then I figure out like halfway through the call, wait a minute, you're a telemarketer. You're not Bobby. So you got to be really, really careful. But telemarketer talk, they try to cozy up to you. They try to do small talk. And I'm not good at small talk. And I can tell when someone's small talking me because they're talking about something that nobody could possibly care about, like the weather. She says like she's from Atlanta and she's calling from Atlanta. And she's, it was AT&T. I was calling AT&T because I had a problem with my voicemail. That's what, and I'm an AT&T customer, and I don't wear that badge proudly at all, believe me. I'd rather pee my pants and walk around and have people say, Ron, is that your new badge? Yes. Over and above AT&T, yes, it is. I was complaining about something, and she says to me, she says, you've been having some cold weather up there, I understand. And I said, yes. And by the way, you're the first Southerner who within the first 10 seconds didn't offer me a piece of pie.
How you doing up there? Would you like a piece of pie? I'm making some pie. Would you like a piece?
It's all they do in the South is they make pie. I don't know. There's nothing else to do. Yeah, you want to go boating today?
No, I want to make pie. I want to make some pie. I love making. You want a piece of pie?
She says to me, the weather in Atlanta has been unusually warm all winter. And that's like, that's just rubbing it in and making, that's like pouring salt into the wound, you know, like, and so I retorted by saying, well, it's been very cold up here and snowing for the past few weeks continually. And she continued this weather conversation and I said, look, can we get on with this AT&T problem that I'm having with my voicemail? And she said, well, before we do that, we'd like a piece of pie. And I realized after I hung up the phone with her quite abruptly that why am I even living here? What is the point of me even being here? And the answer is, well, I have family up here. That holds everybody back from everything. Some people actually move away from their family. I figure, see, I don't like to fly, so that would cause a problem. As far as friends are concerned, whatever. I mean, I have Facebook friends. I have a couple of thousand Facebook friends now. And I think we should have a reunion somewhere in a hall. I have no idea who half you are. Some of the women friends that I have are rather hot. I have no idea who they are. I have their names. Sometimes there's a little picture of them up in the corner. But I don't know them. I've never heard of them before in my life. Maybe they're podcast friends. I have no idea. I really don't know. I don't know who they are. All I can tell you is I haven't had sex with all of them at all. And I don't know why I said that, to be honest with you. It's just, I don't know. Isn't there some kind of romance on Valentine's Day of having an attraction to an entirely strange person? Someone who you don't know at all. They could be a serial killer, an abuser, just a horrible, horrible, bitchy person, man or woman. But that doesn't matter, and that almost makes it more exciting. People don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. And usually people don't want to do that. And you can't get consensual sex with a total stranger and then say, thank you very much, gotta go, have a nice life. It doesn't really work that way. It does in novels and on all television shows. Have you noticed that, Ron, calm down. What do you want, some kind of drug here? No, I'm not. This is it. Have you noticed that in every single movie, The main character has sex with somebody in every single movie. Now, there have been times in my life where I've gone for more than 2 days without having sex, and even more than that, to be honest with you, obviously. But in the movies, no. In every single movie, the lead character has sex with somebody. and it's usually unbridled. You know, it's usually with someone he's not supposed to be having sex with, or she's not supposed to be having sex with. But in every movie, yeah, it's almost like a requirement. It's a requirement. You want to make a movie? Okay, what is it about? I don't know, but let's work on the sex scene, because we got to have one of those. A little chicka-bow-wow scene, you know what I'm saying? And it has to be done artistically. It's everybody who makes a movie, and they all have sex scenes in them, they're always going to do their sex scene artistically. We won't show everything. We're going to do it artistically. Did you make a movie? You should see the sex scene. I did it artistically. I don't understand it either. I think there's sex. I think Bambi had sex in it. I think was Bambi a deer or a lion or a gerbil? I don't even remember. But there was sex. I know there was. There's sex in everything, no matter what it is. If you go on the internet and you type in anything into Google, like plant food, it'll come up on a sex porn site where somehow plant food is involved in the sexual act. It's every single word, every single concept, every single thing you can possibly search for. There will be probably two or three listings down some type of porn site that involves that particular word. Or they'll just put the word in there so that everything goes to a porn site anyway. There's really no sense in putting these child filters on the internet, because everything goes to a porn site. I swear it's true. Try it. See if you can get through any subject whatsoever and a porn site doesn't pop up as an option to click on. I guarantee you. I don't know why that is. I just don't know. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day to you. It's a wonderful day for people.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
I got a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today,
I think you're supposed to wear red on Valentine's Day to commemorate the Valentine's Day massacre with all the blood all over the place. I think that's why everything's red. But you're supposed to wear red. Red is not a flattering color, by the way. Red is a color, to me, of blood and death. So I'm not into the red thing. It's also a little garish. I haven't used that word in a long time, but it's very garish. When someone's wearing red, it's like, whoa, wow. That's a lot to take in at once. Anything red is like, whoa, wow. But it is red, I guess. It's Valentine's Day. And as you know, Valentine's Day is a holiday of sorts. Post offices closed. Banks are closed. All state and federal offices are closed today. Most stores are closed today. All restaurants are closed today. There'll be no mail delivery, no Federal Express delivery, no UPS. There'll be no talking. There will be no food served at hot dog stands today, because it is a special holiday. The churches get very busy on Valentine's Day because it is a religious holiday. As you know, Saint Valentine is the patron saint of wearing red or something. I really don't know. I don't know anything about this whatsoever. Columbus discovered America on Valentine's Day, as you probably know. I don't know what kind of holiday this is, to be honest with you. I don't quite understand what this is about. Who made this up? Well, it's not a federal holiday. I don't think they recognize it federally, although you better damn do something about it. But I don't think it's not a federally recognized holiday. I don't quite understand what it is. It's something that was created to make people do something. And of course, we all love each other more on Valentine's Day than we do other days, and that's always the way that we live our lives, right? You know, I don't love her. Valentine's Day, I got to get her a card. I love her. Wait a minute, you just said you don't love her. I don't care. It's Valentine's Day. It's a what the hell? It's a what the hell day? Everybody's supposed to love each other. What happened to everybody loving each other? Where did that go? Where did that go? Do you remember this humanity thing that we're all supposed to be in the same boat with? We're all supposed to be like on this big sinking ship, and we're supposed to be like looking out for each other. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my aunt. You're my cousin. We're all connected genetically by genetics and Dianetics and things like that. Isn't that what aren't we supposed to have the same soul and look out for each other and love and hug everybody that you meet and have sex with everybody that isn't hooked up already with somebody? Isn't that the idea of this? I grew up at the fringe of the free love thing where prostitutes charged absolutely nothing. It was free love. I think I have that wrong. But, it was free love on Tuesdays. That's what it was. Free love on Tuesdays. The other days you had to pay the regular price. But everybody was having sex with everybody else. And this was before AIDS came along. Somehow someone ruined this whole deal with this AIDS thing where you can actually get a disease from having sex that can kill you. That kind of put a damper on the free love thing rather quickly. It was like, no more. All right, the free ride's over now. No, now I can't touch anybody. All right, I guess I'm paying the price for that generation. Yeah, when AIDS came along, man, everybody was scared to have sex with everybody else. First, it was just the homosexual people of our time. That was their thing, you know. And some people who were didn't like homosexuals said, "You see what happens? You see what God's getting back at you." Then come to find out, heterosexuals were getting this thing too, and we were just transmitting the disease all over the place. And then all of a sudden, now when people have sex, it's almost some partners actually say, "Have you been tested lately?" "No, we can't have sex. I'm sorry. I need documents. You have to be vetted. I'm in a sex travel ban here. Your sex organ cannot travel into mine. There's a travel ban involved." "Well, that's unconstitutional. I don't care. I want to see papers. I want to see documents. I want to see documents. I want to see medical notes. I want them authorized and notarized before you even touch me. Don't even come near me." Well, that's the opposite of what I went through with free love. Now, people weren't having sex with strangers immediately, but you kind of could, because that was it. You just bring people up to your apartment. I lived in New York. People didn't have apartments. They had places where you bring people to have sex. That was, you can eat there if you want. You can sleep there if you want. But the main reason to have an apartment in New York back then was to have sex with somebody. And we all did. And we all did. We all did. Without papers. Without medical tests. Yeah. So things are different now. But whatever happened to everybody, like, just loving each other and hugging each other and being nice to each other? Whatever happened to that? Now we're on the other extreme. And I've told you thousands of times, I don't trust anybody anymore. And yes, it has a lot to do with our political system and what happened during this election. That whole process just brought out the mistrust in everybody. Whatever anybody says anymore, it's not necessarily true. You've actually got a so-called president who says things that are not true. We all know. If you think everything that he says is true, you really are not allowed to vote anymore because you're toxic. I hate to use the word, but stupid. Truth has become second nature, and there's different levels of truth. Some of the lies are alternate truths. I mean, it's just damn confusing. And now I'm getting, as I've said on the show last week, I'm getting deluged by telemarketers. How about you? I mean, I get more telemarketer calls than I get any other phone call whatsoever. And it's you've got to be on your toes. You are being assaulted from all sides. And it's like humanity is actually ganging up on you. Everything's nuts. Everything's crazy. Except us. We're good, right? Right? I said right? Okay, good. Thank you. Everything's nuts. I don't understand what happened. I remember when I was a little kid, there was a news anchor, Walter Cronkite. Everybody knows the name. Most of you have never seen him. He was very fatherly looking, a very gentle man. I'm sure when he got home, he probably beat his kids. I really don't know. But he was CBS. And back then, when I was a tiny little tyke of a string bean little embryo, there were just three news stations. It was CBS, ABC, and NBC, and that was it. And Cronkite was CBS. And he would sit down and deliver the news in the evening around supper time. And the whole family would watch. And whatever he said, he delivered the news. No comments, no analysis, no facial expressions. He just delivered what was happening. And he was trusted. He was so trusted. Now, again, I don't know his personal life, but he was trusted. And I don't know anybody like that anymore in that type of persona, public position, whom I totally trust from top to bottom. And if they said something wrong, they'd apologize and say, like Cronkite, he would say, yesterday I reported that whatever. Turns out that that is not the case. We apologize for that. We didn't want to straighten that out immediately. That was so comforting, so honest, so responsible, so respectful. It's gone. There's none of it anymore. It's gone. Done. Finished. Want it back. I want it back. Okay. Happy Valentine's Day to you. You're looking very nice today. Do I sound too grumpy to you?
Yes, of course you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Tell you a funny story. I'm in a dispute with my rubbish removal company. What do they call that? It's not sanitation anymore. It's not trash. What do you call it? It's trash removal. What do you call this thing? Sanitation. I don't even know. Anyway, yesterday it snowed here, and I called up the trash people. I know that's not the right terminology, and I apologize. Waste management. That's correct. They are managing my waste. Not my waste around my stomach. My garbage is now the stuff that I waste. So this is waste management. It's garbage collection, but in the process, they are managing my garbage. For some reason, all of a sudden, I need someone to manage my garbage. I can't manage it myself. I don't know how to do that. I don't know what to do. But waste management. They manage my waste. Anyway, I called them up yesterday morning. There was a recording saying because of the snow. Your pickup is delayed by one day. It's okay. I've been there before. Thank you very much. Thanks for managing my waste, by the way. I hang up the phone, Half an hour later, I hear this garbage truck out front of my house. My garbage is not out there because the streets aren't plowed real well. And they just told me in a recording at the waste management place that they're going to be picking up tomorrow instead of today. It's a day delay. There's the garbage truck. It slows down in front of my house and it keeps going because there's no garbage out there. I get back on the phone and I'm thinking, if you think you're managing my waste well, you're kind of screwing it up. Here's a good example. You're not managing my waste at all. I call him back up and I say, excuse me, you just told me that there was a day's delay. One of your management garbage trucks just passed my house. She says, hold on, please. She comes back on the phone. She says, no, there's not a delay. The delay is that they're going to be coming a little bit later in the day. I said, first of all, that's not what you told me. You told me they were going to come the next day. Secondly, there's no delay. As soon as I hung up the phone from you, there they were. What kind of delay is that? Actually, they were earlier than usual. So she says, okay, Mr. Van Dam, shut up. Just calm. And she didn't say shut up. She said, we will tell the route people, the management route people, to go back to your house and pick up your garbage. Leave your container out front. I said, fine. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I call them up at 4 o'clock and I say, excuse me, but this morning you told me to leave my garbage container out there and that the truck would come back and pick up my trash. I said, what's going on? She says, well, it's 4 o'clock. They do it until they've got it done. So leave it out there. I said, fine. I wake up this morning. Guess what? Trash container, still in the same position I put it in. They haven't picked it up. After the show today, I'm going to call them and ream their little management asses. Now, I don't know what I can do about this. It's not like you can call up another garbage truck. There's only one garbage truck in any given town. So I'm kind of stuck. And they kind of don't even have to be nice to me. So, I want them to come over to me and hug me. I want humanity to come together. But that's my point, man. They're waste management and they can't manage my waste properly. Where's Cronkite when you need him? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Where's the love? Where is the love? I think we did that. Speaking of waste and management and garbage, how do you do the recycle thing? You're supposed to be doing recycling, you know. That's a big thing. And I'm concerned about recycling because I think it's a good idea. I mean, a lot of the products now are made from recycled goods, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, should have been doing that a long time ago, but what are you going to do? Let's talk about recycling. We actually have a guest here who's going to enlighten us on the recycling situation. Hello, Mark.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Mark Carpenter is a Senior Director of Communications at ISRI, and we're talking about recycling and about, I guess, how much do people actually know about recycling? I do get confused as to what is recyclable sometimes and what isn't. Is there some way to know for sure?
Well, yes, and it actually depends on where you live, which is one thing that the industry is working on, is creating standards across the country. But for the most part, you can go to resources. Earth 911 is a great resource online that you can look up what is and what isn't recycled. For the most part, almost anything nowadays can be recycled. It's just a matter of whether or not your local community is accepting that.
Okay. Now, I know that your people did a survey, and what were the results of that survey?
So it was very surprising. We actually looked at where people get information and how informed they are, and we were pretty shocked at some of the results. For example, we tested four true statements and four myths, and basically, no one believes anything.
Well.
The good news was that of the true statements that we tested, they did perform better than the myths. But for instance, we hear a lot that, oh, recycling doesn't matter that much.
Yes.
At the end of the day, all the recyclables are combined with the trash anyway. And that's something that we've always pushed back against because it's absolutely not true. And then we found that actually only 11% of people surveyed do believe that, which is good news. Some of the true statements, such as recycling reduces greenhouse gas emissions, only 49% believe that was true, which was disappointing. Oh. And so it goes to show that while we've been able to successfully push back against some of the myths that are out there, we still have a lot to do in terms of educating people on the value, the economic and environmental impacts of recycling.
Okay. I know that there are recycling plants, and before there were, in many communities, there are two trucks that pick up weekly. There is a recycle truck and a regular trash. Sometimes it's two different parts of a truck. But before that, was it indeed, did it go to a special location where there were separations made?
If it was combined with the trash?
Right.
So there's actually, we as an industry do not recommend that, but there's still some communities combine their trash with their recyclables, and it can still be sorted. There's a lot of great new technology that's out there that can separate out, you know, they run it through magnets, for example, to separate the metals.
Okay.
They can use other imaging technology to separate out plastics based on color and the makeup of the material going through. So there's a lot of technology out there. The downside of it, if it's being all combined, is the paper that's in there loses its quality. Yeah. I mean, just imagine if you're throwing away your newspaper with, you know, if you've had a hamburger and all the juice or a dirty diaper, the quality of the paper isn't as good.
Yeah, okay, I get that. And it is interesting that over the years, I've had a recycle bin and a regular trash bin for about, I'd say, 8 years now. And I recently, my recycle bin is like twice as large as my trash bin is, which is kind of good news. I guess that means that we're recognizing that most things are indeed recyclable, and that is the bigger of the two bins.
Exactly. And another factor that the industry is having to evolve around, as well as the delivery of, you know, Amazon and other online services that deliver things, there's a lot more corrugated cardboard in the recycling stream now than there used to be.
Yeah.
And with online newspapers, there's less newspaper, as well as some of the mail that goes out.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's a whole changing world out there, but the recycling industry is adapting to it very well.
It's also because the newspapers aren't as big as they used to be, which is saying a lot about the newspaper print industry, but that's besides the point. What about those bags that we get from the grocery store, those plastic bags? They're always a matter of contention. Should you ask for plastic? Should you ask for paper? Are the cheap plastic bags that they put the food in a supermarket, is that recyclable?
Yes, they are, but it depends on the community. It's highly recommended that you take the plastic bags either back to the grocery store where there's a collection or other collections, because what happens is that if they're put in a regular curbside recycling stream, the machines that sort all the recyclables, they get twisted and cause the machines to break down, and then you have to shut down the machine, and it can be quite expensive and slow down the recycling process as well. So it actually sometimes can hurt the recycling process in certain communities.
I see.
So it's best to check with your local municipality to see if they do accept them or don't. Some do accept if you put them all together, like all the plastic bags in one other plastic bag, because that reduces the twisting. But other communities don't accept them at all, while others just take them anyway. So it's best to check, but a lot of grocery stores now have collection bins where they will take them back so that they can be recycled.
So most of the contracts that are struck are between the community, the town, or the city, and the disposal company, in other words. That's the level in which the contracts are actually written.
That's true, but it's actually interesting, and that's how most people think of recycling.
Uh-huh.
But that only makes up a small fraction of everything that's recycled altogether. It's about 20%, give or take.
Uh-huh.
Whereas a lot of our members, 80% of it is commercial. So if you think, you know, for paper, for instance, a paper mill produces a roll that there might be something wrong with it, or they cut off the end to make it even or a certain size, and that gets sent to the recyclers. And so that actually makes up the majority of where the recyclables come from.
So is your organization looking to standardize this nationally or statewide, or what steps are being taken?
Yeah, so we do. We are actually working on national standards, or actually international standards.
Right. Well,
but in terms of general understanding of all the recyclables are sold basically as commodities, so there's a market for them. But setting basic standards of what people can look at in terms of what is acceptable after it's been picked up curbside and sorted.
Yeah.
So there's a wide variety right now, but hopefully through the introduction of standards, it'll be easier for the general public to understand what can be and can't be recyclable, and that'll be the case across the country.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that it seems, you know, after the Trump so-called presidency, that most Americans don't really believe in climate change, yet almost all Americans do recycle and actually buy recyclable goods because it's labeled as such. It's kind of confusing as to where the public stands on this.
Yes, and one of the things we tested in the survey was the myth that a product made of recycled material is of lesser quality than one made from new raw materials. And fortunately, only 8% thought that that was true.
Yeah.
But anything that's made out of recycled goods or material is just as good in terms of quality as something that was made out of raw materials.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, the greenhouse gases are significantly reduced by using recycled products.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, the energy saved when you're manufacturing something out of aluminum, it's 92% by using recycled material as opposed to going through and using raw materials.
That's a gigantic difference. Well, thanks for educating us, Mark. Where do we go for more information about this?
You can go to our website, which is www.isri.org. That's a great resource to learn about the industry. If you're trying to find a recycler, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a Find Recycler button that you can look for in your neighborhood. We also partner with a lot of groups such as Earth911.org, where you can look there to see what can and can't be recycled and where to do it.
Excellent. Hey, this has been pretty good. Mark Carpenter, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. You know, to me, that's the division between people that I like and people that I don't like, people that I'm comfortable with and people that I'm not comfortable with. If you love this planet, if you are in love with this planet and understand how unique and how incredible this whole thing is, then you love the Earth. You want to protect it. You want to enjoy it. You want to preserve it. You want it to be as healthy as possible. If you love the Earth. You love trees, you love recycling, you love nature, you respect it, you want it to be clean, you want the environment to be healthy, you want the air to be clean. If you're all those things, you're on my boat. If you're one of those people who think that the planet is here for your abuse and your entertainment purposes, that it just takes care of itself, it's bigger than you are. You don't have to worry about the air quality or, you breathe in, you breathe out. Who cares? I don't see any stuff. You know, if you just like everything's there for your benefit and your purpose alone and knock some trees down, build some buildings. There's a tree somewhere. I'll get my camping equipment. I'll go to the woods if I want to enjoy trees. If you take on that attitude where you're not in love with this planet, you don't want to take care of it. You don't want to take care of its animals, its people, its nature, its plant life, then you're not on my boat. And I don't want you on my boat. This humanity thing has a definition. And if you don't know what the definition is, get off of my boat. On that note, happy Valentine's Day to you. And as I said on yesterday's show, there are a lot of people that are not in a position of being in love or being loved like that, where you're just going to jump on somebody's bones tonight. You know what I'm saying? Masturbation is a wonderful thing, but it lacks in certain aspects. So here's the deal. You know, don't take it all too seriously. The grass is always greener on the other side. People love you. I don't know how many, but I'm sure people do. And don't take this silly little stupid holiday to be anything more than a business move by retailers to have you buy flowers, buy candy, take your kids out to dinner, that kind of thing. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. It's exciting, and it's new. All right, I can't listen to this again. Goodbye now. Go do something. Join me again tomorrow. Will you be here tomorrow, please? I would love if you did. Feel the love. Can you feel the love flowing? Come on, come over here. Give me a big hug.
Whatever.